From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. For a sign of how much China has been transformed in the past couple of decades, you can look at enrollment in higher education. Today in China, there are about 25 million university students. That is five times the number of a decade ago. As NPR's Larry Abramson reports, this growing population is putting pressure on Chinese universities to offer more and better choices to students.
Like much of eastern China, downtown Nanjing is a forest of skyscrapers, but Nanjing University still has an Ivy League feel to it. I met school vice president Zhang Rong in a beautifully landscaped villa once home to a top official under General Chiang Kai-shek.
And so this was his...
Before the World War II.
Uh-huh. Mm. So he lived here?
Yeah, he lived here. Uh-huh. It's his house.
This university's architecture signals Nanjing's elite status as one of China's top five schools. Yet despite the increase in the number of students in China, schools like Nanjing have grown little. Vice President Zhang says Nanjing is limited to students with top scores in an effort to preserve and enhance the university's reputation.
Most top-ranked Chinese universities have a goal to become a world-class university. That's our goal.
That exclusivity places even more emphasis on the all-important college entrance exam, the Gaokao, which is even more notorious than the SAT in the States. Here at Beijing's Space for Imagination Cafe, students gather to tell their stories about getting into college. One student, with the English name of Ivy, says Chinese students feel compelled to accept admission to the most prestigious school they can get into, regardless of whether they can study the major they're interested in.
It seems that all students try to get the university with the highest ranking and highest grades, no matter whether they are interested in this university, in this major.
Many students forego their preferred major in order to get into the best school they can. The government has opened up new avenues for students with special talents to enter without high scores, but the exam and the near-government monopoly on university education still reign supreme. Even students like Eleanor Pei, a business student at Renmin University, can't imagine doing it any other way.
I feel really complicated about the college entrance exam system. It's like, I really hate the system, so... It exists and it has problems, but we need it.
It's the university choose us, not we choose the university.
That student calls herself Cinderella in English, and she has done something about the limited number of choices available to her. She's one of a growing number of students turning to private universities.
Make sure that every one of you gets involved. Okay.
This English class is offered by Eurasia University, a large private school on the outskirts of the city of Xi'an in central China. About 30 students form themselves into groups to practice introducing themselves in English.
My name is Melody. The most time I spend my time in the library to enlarge my vocabulary and so many things.
Many privates focus on practical skills in high demand, such as translation, nursing, or hotel management. Xi'an has become a magnet for private education thanks to generous tax breaks. Tuition is 20% higher than at public schools, but students are flocking to the privates for one reason.
Now, how many of you came here because your scores were too low for public universities?
Not too low, just a little low.
That's Cinderella again, who says if it weren't for this private university, her low test scores would have forced her to accept a school of far lower quality. Many Chinese still look down on private schools, but as far as facilities are concerned, some are pretty impressive. Not far from Eurasia University, Xi'an International University is bristling with technology and new buildings. University President Huang Teng whisks me past new libraries and language labs.
President Huang, you have a lot of energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
President Huang's face smiles from Xi'an International's brochures and ads. He's an entrepreneurial go-getter with a broad grin and a high-pitched laugh who never tires of touting his school's accomplishments.
This is our school's...
President Huang beams as he shows me around a little museum exhibit about the school's history, complete with a dramatically lit diorama detailing his grand plans for the future. Privates like Xi'an International are growing faster than the public universities in China. They can keep expanding because tuition revenue keeps growing from students whose test scores won't admit them to the public school of their choice. Huang boasts that each year his school adds as many as five new disciplines, things like cartoon automation and auto repair, where job prospects are optimistic. Despite this breezy confidence, some Chinese academics worry that private universities spend too much on advertising and glitzy buildings and too little on quality instruction. Chinese families who want a guarantee of top quality face stiffer competition and higher prices at another new arrival on the higher ed scene here.
A judge in the UK described an auditor as a watchdog.
A class of Chinese business students stares blankly at lecturer John Margerison as he uses an English language metaphor that may take some explaining.
And said the auditor was a watchdog, but not a bloodhound.
Margerison used to be an auditor. Now he's standing in a lecture hall at the University of Nottingham, located not in central England, but in Ningbo, a booming Chinese seaport just down the coast from Shanghai. Students pay $9,000 a year to attend here. That's nearly 10 times the cost of public schools. What do they get in return?
We would argue the development of more critical faculties. So in a Chinese university, would be a tendency to repeat what they'd learned, a repetition. Whereas we're trying to get them to actually think about the issues.
The University of Nottingham may be the only independent foreign campus on Chinese soil. Instruction is in English, and the hour is told by a big clock tower, a reminder of home to the many Nottingham transplants who can retreat to the Robin Hood Cafe at the end of a tough day. Most importantly for students, there's a British degree awaiting at the end. That's helped the school grow to 3,500 students in just 4 years. Provost Peter Buttery gestures at empty space that he's filling with new buildings.
That's the Sustainable Energy Technologies building that's just about to be completed. And this area over here is where we're going to build further laboratories and more buildings.
U.S. universities would like to open campuses just like this one, but the Chinese government has been wary of authorizing too much innovation. As more and more Chinese students expect to go to college, that may have to change. Larry Abramson, NPR News.